入ってます、入ってますね、はい、どうも。
Can you all hear me? Well, opening remarks. This is so boring in all international conferences. So, first of all, sorry that I'm wearing something like this. I didn't think that everybody else would be wearing suits and ties, but I hope everyone would be relaxed like my clothes. Now, the opening address, rather than simply welcoming you, I would like to talk about why we are organizing this symposium, what we are going to discuss in the 2 days. I would like to look at our stance or our perspective as we start this 2 days program. So, searching a new approach to peace and conflict studies, we talk about new approach, new conflicts, and something new and new. But seriously, we have to change our approach because PCS, peace and conflict studies, this discipline of looking at the peace, is it really useful to realize peace? That is the big question. We have to ask ourselves once again whether this sort of peace studies is really useful or not, or how can we make this academic discipline even more useful in the true sense. That is the question that we are asking, and that is why we are organizing this symposium. So our position or a stance or our perspective, I have one slide. So first of all, there is a conflict. In international societies, they try to deal when conflicts occur, so peace might be enforced. So in order to enforce peace as a common solution, sometimes there will be peacekeeping forces. Some kind of forces will be sent to do the firework. We dispatch fire brigades in order to extinguish the fire. After the fire is subdued, there might still be seed of fire, so to say, but post-conflict work starts immediately. And in that situation, military intervention shifts from peacekeeping to peace building. So whilst military force is used to maintain the peace, the country has to be reconstructed. This is a general scenario. The military aspect is, as time passes and if it is successful, that need should decline and the civilian management should take over from the military control. So that would be the timing of a transformation from peacekeeping to peace building. After that period, if you manage to go through this period, then you go to normalization. Now, in the recent years, I have never seen successful cases like this before. Going to peace consolidation, Timor-Leste, for example, that's one good failure case. They did never arrive at a peace consolidation state. So at the timing of force deployment, peacekeeping forces, this went on for very long years, but it is very costly. In Iraq, look at the war expenditure by the USA. It even really impacts the American economy because of the war, and it determines the survival of the American administration. Exit strategy is important. On the side of the military, you will always have to remember your exit strategy. DDR, disarmament and rehabilitation, has to be introduced. Plus, that has to be replaced with the local security forces. And either you would have to establish or re-establish your new national army so that the country can look after themselves. After stabilization, of course, military force alone cannot realize security. You need the rule of law in addition to military management. You need the police reorganization. You need judicial reform. So the rule of law has to be enforced. And that has to be consolidated. That would be one scenario. So SSR is the word used these days, security sector reform. In Afghanistan, this is what we have tried and we are still trying to do, and we are about to fail in Afghanistan, but this is security sector reform. at the same time starting from emergency aid, we try to provide support. So the emergency aid has to coexist with the military. So we are talking about the civilian-military cooperation or military-civilian cooperation. Which word you put first determines the priority, but that is what the NGOs are discussing about as they try to coexist with the military in order to provide emergency aid, and eventually that should lead to development. So this is the so-called recovery of public administration or state authority. So these are the intervention menus of the global community in the event conflicts occur. So this is the so-called pattern of intervention. So what is missing here? It's all investment, which is a huge investment, in fact. But this all occurs after a conflict has erupted. You need all that money once a conflict does occur. And when there are money being moved around, it really means an industry, so to say. I call this conflict freak. Industry professionals, in fact, might wait for a conflict to make money, and I have to admit that I was one of them. Practitioners has that kind of mindset, looking forward to conflicts. When you are a professional in the industry. Now I have joined academia and you are all a member of the academia. Why? Because in the event of conflict or when we want to discuss about peace, we want to look at this area, pre-conflict, instead of after the conflict. Unless we focus on pre-conflict, there is no reason of existence for us, academia. That is why I have swapped my position from a conflict-free industry professional to an academia. Now, what can we do to prevent conflict in the first place? First of all, as is often discussed, there could be early warning. That is, if there are any seed of conflict, you have to detect that early, and you have to deal, you have to react. So early warning and early response, that is often discussed. Now, why do conflicts occur? You have to deal with the court ruses, and therefore you have to deal with poverty. You need good governance, and you need to promote democracy. I mean, the definition of democracy might be a question, because some countries do go to war under the guise of promoting democracy. But at any rate, these are some of the menus that we could follow in order to prevent conflict in the first place. But these are not sufficient. History tells us that this menu is not adequate. But we are organizing this two-day program in order to deal with this area. So peace and conflict studies at our university is supported by the Ministry of Education of the Japanese government. We are going through a project, and this is the kick-off symposium. We want to develop an academic curriculum for peace promotion and conflict prevention that is unique to Japan. But the key is unique to Japan, because if you think about the image of Japan in this discipline of peace studies, we have experienced Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That is the big image that is related with Japan. But in local conflicts and the prevention, we want to make use of our negative experiences. So more than an image of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we really want something concrete, something that could really contribute to prevention of conflict. So we want to develop more menus for a pre-conflict actions. We are trying to establish and develop curricula, and in particular dealing with poverty or promoting good governance or promoting democracy, aiding democracy. In these areas, we would like to wrap up in a word called preventive development. Japan is one of the largest donors of ODA, so ODA, if this is used, has this been useful for preventing a conflict in those vulnerable countries? I have to say no. So far, the ODA has not been useful to prevent conflicts. How our ODA is being used, in particular, if you look Sri Lanka, Indonesia, those are one of the most familiar cases. But we have just given ODA without thinking about how the money has been used. So in some cases, we have poured oil over the seed in Aceh and Timor-Leste. We might have poured oil over fire. So could we do something in the form of preventive development? Could we really contribute to preventing conflict? We want to establish a theory and teach as a curricula. I think that is our mission as Japanese. That is what we are trying to do. Now, the portion of early warning and early response. This concept, I think, is advanced. There are many think tanks, and in particular in the Western countries, there are many think tanks that are talking about peace communication or peace advertisation. But then, is it really changing the mindset of the people? Is it really influencing the society's mindset? It has not gone to that stage. That is because we, the academia, have to keep something in mind. That is, what do we want to communicate? Or what is supposed to be communicated? And what is actually communicated could be different. It depends on how you communicate. In the third session tomorrow, we will be discussing about this aspect. But we have been working closely with people in the area of communication. They are communication experts. So in this area of communication studies, what we want to communicate and what ends up being communicated is different. And being aware of that, we have to think how we want to communicate. So for the future PCS, this peace communication theory cannot be ignored. So this is the word for the curriculum. Peace communication as a subject. We analyze and we issue the warning, but that alone would not suffice. Because otherwise, what is going to be communicated could be different from what you intended. So you have to think about the result of the outreach. So the entire discipline would be called peace communication. In particular, the technology of advertisement would be under focus. Advertisement might be a mission of for-profit companies. And of course, advertisement technology is used for war propaganda, but could we not use this for peace communication? So we have coined the word peace ad for peace advertisement. So we want to promote the curriculum of peace communication. So we hope that this would be the future pillar of peace education here in Japan. And this is a kickoff meeting. I should have said this at the beginning, but once again, welcome to all of you. I hope you will enjoy this two-day conference. And plus to our special guests, in particular, our friends who have traveled all the way. Thank you very much for coming to Japan. So we hope that this would be a real international meeting where we can really exchange our opinions, that we can really think what we have to do going forward. The big question is whether the outcome of our study is really going to be useful to prevent a conflict. That is the question that we want to ask ourselves. Thank you.